Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
Now, my first guest today is living proof of the concept of lifelong learning being not just possible, but something to be embraced with joy. Because at the age of 80, she has just graduated last month with a master's degree in visual studies from the University of Stellenbosch. Her name is Rosemarie Lapping-Sellers. She's a multimedia artist whose work has just gone on exhibition this past weekend at the Rustin Frere Gallery in Durbanville. And it's my great, great pleasure to welcome her on the line to chat to us about her story. Rosemarie, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on the new master's degree.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
60 years ago, when you were only 20 years old, you graduated with your bachelor's degree, and I believe you were actually the first person in South Africa to obtain that degree with a major in ceramics, Rosemarie. But I know that Initially you had a plan to study medicine. That's quite a radical change of direction. What happened?
Well, I was too young to go to medical school. And so I went into the fine art department because it was my love, you know, it's my passion. And when I discovered this clay and the chemistry of clay, it just intrigued me. And I just thought, this is where I want to stay for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I haven't left it.
Here we are 60 years later. A little while became a lifetime, and a very exciting lifetime, Rosemarie. You've had the opportunity to live and work overseas. You've put a lot of focus, I know, on teaching ceramic art. And in fact, I believe you were the first in the country to open a studio specially aimed at children. What is it about the teaching experience and communicating your love of art to kids that you found so rewarding?
Whoa. You know, children are remarkable. They're very receptive. And with the right environment and the right message, it's remarkable how they are able to communicate their own feelings, their own sensations, and how grateful they are to be able to do that in a free environment. You know, I think in a very strong academic, educative environment, they are more prone to trying to achieve for marks. But in my environment, it was not like that. They were just able to express themselves and to enjoy themselves. And as a result of it, I think it was, in a strange way, almost therapeutic.
Rosemarie, in both cases, your honours degree and this latest master's degree, going back to study has been something that in part was triggered by personal tragedy. You were quite young when you lost your first husband, not even 40 years old. You had four young children. You chose to go back to study then to do your honours through UNISA. Was that about finding something to distract yourself from the pain of grieving, or were you hoping to set up better work opportunities? Talk to us about that decision.
No, it had nothing to do with work. You know, I had these four young children, and it sounds pretentious to say this, but I think essentially I am an academic, and I love reading and I love studying. And it seemed a very good opportunity for me to go back to university and do a BA Fine Arts Honours, which in fact took 5 years. But it enabled me to regroup my perception of art. You know, when I did my first degree, it was the beginning of the 60s, and so much had happened that by the time I registered to do my BA Fine Arts Honours, you know, I was able to reconnect with a strange ethos of modernism, which I hadn't thought about before. I was very young and very immature, really. So by the time I reached the age of 40 and I was widowed with these four children, I was able to see it in a much more mature way. And I was able to give it my absolute best because I could stay at home. I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. So I stayed at home and looked after my four children, and I just made art and I wrote for 5 years.
Rosemarie, the art at some point moved beyond clay into other media. Tell us a little bit about, do you see yourself as a ceramic artist who happens to dabble in other media as well? Or are you by now really a fully established multimedia artist for whom the clay just has a special corner of your heart?
I think that's probably the latter is correct. You know, I've become pretty proficient, of course, over years of experience and practice. I've become pretty proficient in other media. I mean, I do watercolors and I draw. I also work with a medium of drawing with my sewing machine as using the needle as a tool. After I went to live in Ireland with my now second husband, who was a professor of ear, nose and throat, and he was at the hospital, I registered with the Oakley School of Textiles in London, the Middlesex University in London. Mm-hmm. And I did a diploma through that university for a year. And at the end of it, I was very privileged enough to be invited to exhibit in London with the group. I mean, it sounds quite impressive, Pippa, but it's not. If you look at the amount of people who exhibited, it was just a group of people who were exhibiting. But, you know, for me, a young woman from South Africa, to suddenly be standing in the middle of London exhibiting my work, I was quite chuffed, I must be honest.
Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my guest on the line is Rosemarie Lapping-Sellers, an artist who recently graduated with her master's degree in visual studies from the University of Stellenbosch at the age of 80. Rosemarie, at a time when many people would be putting up their feet and saying, I've earned the right to take life a little bit easier, you decided to up your game. And I know once again, sadly, it was partly motivated by the loss of your second husband very unexpectedly. I believe it was a friend who prompted you to say, you need to go back to school now. What did you think when he first said that?
I have a very good friend called Paul Murray. He has two doctorates, and he's been a very close friend of both my husband's and myself for many years. And he loves the idea of academics. You know, he's always studying. And when Sean died, he came to me and he said, you have to go back and study. He said, there's no choice. And I thought, what a good idea. Without any idea further than just studying. And when I approached the Stellenbosch University, they very kindly offered me the opportunity to go back. And it was quite interesting because, you know, there were 40 people who applied, Pippa, and only 15 of us were accepted. So that in itself was unique for me because most of the other kids were in their early 20s with little short denim shorts on. Mm-hmm. And there I was. And, you know, the journey, walking, I was very, very privileged to have a superb supervisor, highly intelligent woman, Professor Elizabeth Gunter. And she walked me through my paces, and she never once let me flounder. She picked me up, and she put me back on my feet, and she'd sober me up. And so she was a prime mover and shaker in my acquisition of this very prestigious degree that I have now, and I'm very grateful to her.
Rosemarie, I understand you are, yes, 15 accepted, and only one of them actually graduated in December, namely Rosemarie Lapping-Sellers. Yes. I'm sure the impact of COVID had a lot to do with that. A lot of people had great difficulty in juggling the different ways of learning, etc. But it's testament to the resilience you've built up over the years that you were the one who was still standing at the end of the 2 years. Now, the work that you are currently exhibiting at the Rist and Frieda Gallery, and I'll tell our listeners how to see it in just a moment, but that is work really that was born out of your master's work, and it draws on your personal experience of the COVID-19 pandemic. Won't you tell us a little bit more about it?
Okay, I'll try. Well, the installation of work that is available at Rist and Frieda was where I tried to convey a message about vulnerability, focused entirely on the impact of COVID. So this is really a ubiquitous statement because everybody was vulnerable. Mm. And because of it, as I worked, I couldn't really use words, but I could use images. And so the entire project became a dialect without utterance. And as I journeyed along, this was the objects that are on display, Pippa. They were never meant to be an exhibition. Mm-hmm. They were my journey of discovery of how to entrap vulnerability in a medium. That's what they were. And only later, when the Rust and Frieda curators saw my work and they invited me to exhibit, it was only then that the concept of actually hosting a one-man exhibition at the gallery suddenly became something very interesting. And so that's how it happened, really. It had nothing to do with my thinking, I'm going to have an exhibition, I'm going to make objects, I'm going to sell them. There was no ego involved there. Mm. It was a very fragile soul that was, you know, searching that made that stuff. Yeah.
Well, one of your curators, Henny Meyer, described that exhibition as poignant and beautiful. He's, in fact, the one who tipped us off about you, Rosemary, and said to me, you've got to get this woman on your show to speak about her journey. And, Henny, thank you very much for tipping us off. Rosemary, I mean, a one-woman show at the age of 80 is in and of itself something to be celebrated, but a show that has such profound emotional impact as I believe this one does is really something special. And what intrigued me looking at, I haven't had the pleasure of seeing it in person yet, but looking at some video footage and online coverage was the huge variety of works. You know, there are works of so many different media. You've used the sewing machine, you've used the ceramics, you have used drawing, and I believe some of the work was actually inspired by the news coverage of COVID-19 that you were watching. Yes. Night after night, and the people. Yeah. That were being interviewed on the television.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was. But, you know, I would like to say two things, if you don't mind, by just intruding here. First of all, I will be doing two walkabouts at Rustenfreda. Yeah. And that might be quite interesting for people who are finding this talk particularly intriguing. They won't be on Saturday, this coming Saturday, and then the following Tuesday. But I would like to also share something with you which has really touched me remarkably. Mm-hmm. When I was doing this whole exercise, I became very aware of those who cannot hear, who cannot depend on words.
Yeah.
And as I worked, you know, my second husband, Sean Sellers, was actually a professor of ear, nose and throat. And his particular interest was those who had either hard of hearing or were totally deaf. So I'm acutely aware of that. And as I worked, I thought, now I'm beginning to see how it must be feeling for someone who's hard of hearing or totally without hearing. And when that happened, I thought, I want some of my work, some of the proceeds, to go to the Deaf Society. Mm-hmm. And I phoned the professor called Johan Fagan, and I said to him, Johan, I really want to donate to this cause. And he said, well, you can donate to the cochlear unit.
Yeah.
It's called the cochlear implant unit. So on Saturday, a lot was put up purely. Anyone who bought any of that, it went straight into the donation box. There was no coverage from no one took any, commission.
Yeah.
It just went straight in. One man walked in and bought two minor installations on the turn and put all the money into the box.
Fantastic.
And suddenly, there was this resonated, the story resonated. The story of COVID, the story of vulnerability, the story of people who are impaired, it suddenly hit all of us. So it was no longer about me, Pippa, which was wonderful. It was about humanity and what awfully difficult times we've had in the last 2 years. And I think that made a huge difference to me. I looked at it and I thought, this is what I really did it for. So I just wanted to tell you that.
It's a wonderful way to wrap up the interview. Rosemary, congratulations again, not only on the degree, but also on the exhibition and the wonderful things that are happening because of the exhibition. It's been a real pleasure to have you with us on the show today.
Thank you.
And good luck to you going forward.
Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate your interest and your time. I know it's valuable. Thank you, Papa.
Thank you so much. Rosemary Lapping Sellers. If you'd like to see her work, it is on at the Rustenfreda Gallery in Durbanville until the 26th of January. You'll find the gallery at number 10 Wellington Road in Durbanville. And if you'd like to take a look at some of the work and get a feel for the exhibition before you visit, the catalogue is available to view on their website, which is www.rust-n-freda.com.